This film is a dramatization. It is not a biography.
There's something desperately wrong with him, and he needs help. Good luck to him, you know? I mean, good luck to him and anyone that's helping him, because he's, I'm telling you.
Neville Bartos has been in hiding since Chopper shot and narrowly missed killing him for the second
that's
time.
That's a good bloody wound, man. Of course I can bloody say.
I was hospitable, I let him in. I said hello. I was a friend. He did it again.
That's right.
So what have you got to say to people who say he's a real bad piece of work, he's criminally insane?
Who says that?
Well, Neville Bartos, for one.
Oh, that bloody sook. Is he still crying, is he? You know, Neville shouldn't have stepped into the criminal world unless he was prepared to put his whole bloody leg into it. Look, the average man on the street, it doesn't worry about Chopper Reed. The average man on the street, he likes me, he couldn't care less about me. What I do, he applauds. You know, and now they're saying that the victims, that the bloody proceeds of my book should go to these victims of crime. Well, who are my victims?
Victims of crime. Bloody drug dealers. Do you believe it?
Do you want to see money go to bloody drug dealers? Perish at all? No.
Money to bloody drug dealers.
I've got nothing on my conscience for killing a few people. You know, I mean, the drugs, as far as I'm concerned, they completely ruined the criminal world. And in my opinion, they'll probably ruin normal society.
That's right. That's what you said before.
You seem to have a hatred for humanity.
Well, I mean, humanity doesn't like me. That's why we're sitting here now talking. I'm a bloody freak show. I'm a bloody freak show.
He's waving at us.
Every person watching these thinks I'm a bloody freak.
What's your opinion?
I'm just a bloody normal bloke. Normal bloke who likes a bit of torture.
Starring Eric Bana as Chopper.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
Also starring Simon Lyndon, David Field, Dan Wiley, Bill Young, Vince Colosimo, Kenny Graham, and Kate Beham.
Let me be by myself in the evening.
Small wispy clouds drift across a blue sky overhead. Weighty shadows shroud the imposing stone walls of a high-security prison guarded by barbed wire and watchtowers.
Don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
Adapted from the books by Mark Brandon Reed.
To the bridge where the west commences, and gaze at the moon till I lose my.
Written and directed by Andrew Dominic.
And I can't stand fences.
H Division, Pentridge Prison, 1978. A fellow inmate beckons Mark over.
You see that line there? That's your side of the yard. You stay that side of the yard, we'll stay this side.
Mark considers, then returns to his side of the large room.
Good, you got that knucklehead.
Joining a group of prisoners sitting around a table, Mark looks over his shoulder and notices a gleam on the threatening inmate's hair. He whispers into a friend's ear.
What's he done to his hair?
That's boot polish, mate. He's developed a bit of complex about it.
Poor bugger.
The inmate strokes the hair on the back of his head.
Nice to see your ball patches gone, Keith. No, it looks good, mate. I like it.
Keith continues pacing across the communal area.
So you're not going to get me then, Keithy?
You're not worth doing any more time over you, Maggie.
Oh, Keithy? You get off on self-defence. All you got to do is kill me, present me psychiatric records to the court. There's not a jury in the land that will convict you.
You're fucking sick, Reed. You're insane.
Beethoven had his critics too, Keith. See if you can name three of them.
That's right, you can't.
Why don't you do yourself a favour and neck up? You can't. You're a parrot. Fucking blowfly.
Oh, Keith, you know, I always thought I was a good bloke.
Ha! What'd you ever do that was good?
Well, I bashed you. That was good, wasn't it? It was good for a bit of a giggle anyway. Hey, Keithy? Oh, come on, Keith. You should thank me. You got a head that needs regular panel beating.
Later, Mark's friend is shaking his head.
Oh, fuck him. Who does he think he is?
He knows who he is, mate. He's Keithy George, right? He's the painters and dockers, mate.
Oh, out there he's the painters and dockers. In here he's just another beer bum in the shower.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody.
Well, why have we been fighting him for 3 fucking years then?
I don't know.
Well, mate, we should have a reason.
We'll make one up.
Now, Mark's escorted to a door. He steps up to the door, then waits while a guard unlocks a gate to let him into the communal area.
Step in, Mark.
Obeying the order, Mark stands with his head bowed until the guard has locked the gate and passed back through the door. His breathing becomes laboured as he looks across the room to where Keith is pacing up and down. Making a decision, Mark strides over to Keith and begins pounding his face and neck with a sharp implement. As Keith drops to his knees, then clutches his neck in an expanding puddle of blood, Mark retreats to the other end of the room and looks back distraught.
Shit!
Mr. Cole!
Mark slowly breaking into tears.
Shit! You all right, Keith? Hey? It's all right, Keith. You're not going to bleed to death, mate. All right? They call the screws. The screws are coming. Draw a cigarette, Keith.
You're all right, buddy.
Edging towards Keith, Mark lights a cigarette.
It's all right, mate. Have a cigarette, Keith.
He throws it to him, but Keith hurls it back.
Keith, hey, come on, mate. You don't much like me, do you, Keith?
You bash people for no reason just to make a name for yourself. You're a fucking idiot.
I'm not a dumb cunt with piss and blood, Keith. Right? I'm the one who runs the division, mate. Make no mistake about that, all right?
When 4 guards open the door to the communal area, they find Mark leaning against the bars and blocking their view of the stricken Keith.
What's going on here?
Oh, no, she's sweet. Oh, Keithy seems to have done himself a mischief.
Stay back, fellas. Step back, keep out of
the way. You all right, Keithy? Off you go, mate. Off to the sick bay. Ah, whinge, whinge, fucking whinge. Be a nice late one tonight, sir.
I don't mind, Mark, I can tell you.
Bit of overtime.
I don't mind, mate.
Enjoy.
Mark wanders over to his fellow inmates, who are whispering to each other.
But he put me shoulder out.
They give him disdainful looks.
What?
Mark, this is Detective Senior Sergeant Creswell, Detective Sergeant Wyatt. They're from the Prison Liaison Office. They're investigating the incident that happened in H Division yesterday involving prisoner George.
At this stage, I must inform you that you're not obliged to say anything, and anything you do say may be given in evidence. Do you understand that?
Look, all I can tell you is what I've already told Mr. Beasley. None of us saw anything. It was just one of those things. Bluey Barnes was reading a magazine. Ambrose Atchison was taking a piss. Johnny Price was washing his hands. Jimmy Loughnan was watching a bull ant crawl across a table, and I was watching Jimmy watching the bull ant. Sadly, none of us are going to be able to help you on this occasion, much as we'd like to.
Cresswell gives Mark a measured look.
Well, I put it to you that that's not the truth.
Look, I didn't stab Keithy George. I had nothing to do with what happened to Keithy George, right? And I'm sure when he wakes from his slumber, he'll swear to God that I didn't stab him.
Well, he's not going to wake up, Mark. He died this morning.
Mark's sincere expression changes to shock. Later in H Block, Bluey Barnes eyes Mark, who's crouching by a wall, smoking and cursing quietly to himself.
Shit. It's not a good thing. The sort of thing that's got to come back at you.
Don't get all spooky on me. You dream about that shit for a while, big deal. You keep your feet on the ground.
It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the dockies. They have to get us back now, eh? Don't they?
Hey, what do you want me to do about it, Blue? Just fucking lie there while he's stabbing me to death, huh? Let him stab me to death. That would have been wise, wouldn't it?
Hey, we didn't want to start up again. That's the fucking whack. That's the fucking whack.
Blue.
Get fucked.
About bloody time, Blue. Don't get angry, Blue. You lose your edge, you lose your perspective. You can't make friends with your enemies. Even when peacetime is declared, no one bloody, you know, they're all still fucking enemies, aren't they? Nothing's ever forgotten, Blue. It's just human bloody nature.
A prison guard.
My money's always been on you, Mark, you know that. But the dockies are very threatened about what's happened to Keithy George. Very threatened. You've really put him in a corner. Now, I don't know how seriously to take this, but there's a rumour going around that's that put a contract out on you.
Hey. How much?
Well, apparently that's been passed around and five of the dockies have put in $2,000 each to have you knocked.
It's not bad. I should have a go at it myself. Oh, come on. It all sounds a little bit ridiculous, doesn't it? I mean, how are they going to get to do it?
Take your pick, Mark.
Burly inmates whispering conspiratorially. The dockers, many of them covered with tattoos, stare at Mark, who's talking to Bluey and Jimmy.
All we got to do is we grab two screws, knives to the throats, take their keys, march them up into the scullery, right? Lock them in the scullery, then get matchsticks, stick them in the keyholes, separating the gates from the division, right? Then we ring the alarm bells, we pick up the phone to Governor Beasley, yeah? And we tell him we've got two screws hostage and we've taken the entire division to siege. Then we'll grab the keys, we'll go through the whole joint, cell by cell, and I will ice pick the fucking spines of every prisoner in this division. Make paraplegics of a lot of them.
Right. Turn them all into jelly sandwiches. Mate, I don't want to be in it.
Are you a fucking girl's dress?
I don't care what you say. The blokes down there haven't got $10,000. They ain't got 10,000 cents.
They haven't got any sense at all, mate. Look, it's simple. We do it all in one night. We go swoop, wake up in the morning, problem solved.
I got me a pill going, Chell. I don't want to fuck it up.
You'll be in it though, won't you, mate?
Jimmy looks away from Mark's penetrating stare.
Do I have to remind you of certain things?
You're never going to let me forget that fucking judge, are you?
Nope. And as for you, you butt-ulcerated knucklehead, when it starts, you jump straight in. If you stand there thinking about it for two fucking seconds, you are back there in the yard crying like when I first met you, right?
Bluey struggles to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Later, the three of them are pacing a cell.
Want a smart?
Tell Jimmy.
Swallowed the thing, but it didn't come out, so he said to wait till the next morning. So I seen him, mate. I saw him in the dunny.
Yeah.
Oh, he was there with the toothpick trying to go in and trying to...
It's pretty early in the morning for Kung Fu, isn't it, Jim?
Jimmy jabs Mark's body again.
What's the matter with you?
Jimmy backs away. Mark's mouth is smeared with blood from his fingers. He looks down as more of the deep red blood begins to trickle out of two holes in his coat. He touches both holes with baffled curiosity. The blood starts dripping onto his black shoes. He's still holding the cigarette Jimmy gave him to roll. Mark glances at his cellmate, who's nervously brandishing a knife in front of him.
Just hang on a second.
Mark tucks the rollie into his coat pocket.
What are you doing?
Uncertain, Jimmy lunges again. Mark makes no attempt to dodge the blade, but instead stares at Jimmy questioningly.
What's got into you?
Mark is stabbed again, but ignores it and wanders over to a wall thoughtfully. Jimmy flinches, then after a moment, Mark approaches and hugs him.
Come here, mate. Come here.
Sorry, Chop.
It's all right. It's all right.
Whilst hugging Jimmy, Mark looks over at Bluey, cowering at the far end of the cell. Jimmy stabs the blade into Mark's side and shoves him back.
Shit! Jimmy, if you keep stabbing me, you're going to kill me, right?
Jimmy stabs him again. A flash of anger creeps into Mark's dark eyes. Jimmy's next lunge is half-hearted, and the men end up nose to nose. A moment passes before Jimmy retracts the blade for another attack. Mark's pinned him to the wall with a hand to his throat. Jimmy struggles in vain and then looks fearful.
Let me go. I'm not gonna let you go, Jimmy. You got a knife in your hand.
You let me go, I'll drop that shiv.
You drop the knife, and then I'll let you go.
You let me go, I'll drop the shiv, I'll drop off. I'll drop off.
Let go of the knife, Jimmy.
Okay, I'll drop off, all right? Let go of my hands.
I'm gonna let you go, okay? You go and sit down.
Jimmy backs away. Bluey's now pacing frantically in the far corner.
Terrific snake go, Jim. Bloody terrific. You obviously listened and learnt well, didn't you? Always give credit where credit is due, Jimmy. I'll give you top marks for treachery, mate. Blue, you're bloody useless.
Mark removes his coat, shirt and blood-stained vest to reveal a host of tattoos and several stab wounds that ooze blood as he runs his fingers over them. Bluey vomits. Mark looks up at Jimmy, who gets to his feet, showing genuine concern.
You all right, Chuck? Yeah, I'm all right. Jesus, mate, does it hurt?
I think you better lie down, eh?
What for?
It's not looking too good, mate. Come on, let me help you. You gotta lie down and lie still. Come on. Just lie down.
Jimmy takes Mark's weight, lying him down on the floor. Bluey breathes queasily.
I'm sorry, Chop. I'm sorry.
Lying against Jimmy's knee, Mark looks up at him, then stares at an insect over his shoulder, scurrying over the rough, white-painted wall of the cell. He takes a drag on the cigarette that Jimmy offers him, then Jimmy has a puff on it himself. The smoke drifts out of Jimmy's mouth slowly in a thick cloud. The smoke seeps upwards out of Jimmy's mouth and disappears up past his nose, before he eventually breathes it all out. Bluey's sitting at the far end. Above him, an explosion of smoke and sparks plays backwards. Then everything fades into white.
Cut me. Yeah, I can't fucking cut you, mate.
Bluey, cut me.
I can't cut you, mate. I can't do it.
Piss me.
Jimmy cuts himself.
Hey, put the knife down.
He's a mad
cat.
Put
the knife
down,
Jimmy.
Attacked me.
Put the knife down.
Okay, he attacked me first, right?
Put the knife down.
Oh, get him out of here.
We're not getting anybody out of anywhere till a knife goes on the table. Jimmy, put it on the table.
Look, boss, I've got no problem with that. Just get him out
of
here.
Put it on the table, Jim. Put it down.
Chopper went fucking mad. He fucking tried to stab Jimmy. He attacked him first.
He attacked me first, boss, right?
The officers carry Mark out of the cell.
How's about getting someone to have a look at my arm?
Mark's in a bed. His wounds have been stitched up and are surrounded by bruises.
How are you, Mark? Are you prepared to make a statement?
No.
Cresswell sighs.
Oh, look, Blake's been my best mate since 1975. You know, we've had our fallouts from time to time. It's no big deal. You know, it's like if your mum stabbed you, what do? You don't get upset. You don't get angry. You go, shit, mum stabbed me. I better get off to the hospital.
Well, he's made a statement against you, Mark.
Frowning, Mark looks from Cresswell to the impassive Wyatt.
No, he hasn't.
Cresswell unfolds the document and passes it to Mark.
Have a look at that.
That's not Jimmy. Jimmy wouldn't do that.
He's done it. He's also filed a claim with the Victims of Crime Compensation Board.
Mark smirks.
Victims of crime? How much can he get?
5,000.
Jimmy Laughlin, a bloody victim of crime. Shit, cheeky dog. Hey, so if he's charged, does that mean I can lay a claim against him?
Now, Mark's in a cell by himself, crouching against a wall.
Jimmy! Hey, Jimmy! Is that you, Jimmy?
Yeah.
You weak cunt. You could have had me, but you lost your guts the last second, didn't you? I'll tell you, Jim, if I'd have had that knife, you wouldn't have got a stab in the arm, I'd have cut your fucking head off.
Mark, why are you getting up against Jim?
He's the one who made the first statement against me. The cops are going to charge me with an attempted murder because of a statement made by Jimmy, Mr. My Lips are Sealed Laughlin. The prick even filed a bloody Victims of Crime Compo claim against me.
But he's the one who's been charged, Mark. You can't stand up in court against him.
Who do you think I am, Blue? The fucking Red Cross. I'm not running some public charity here.
Now, Mark, you know I've always had a lot of time for you, but Jimmy's the one who has been charged. Now, I think the main thing, you know, Mark, is that Jim doesn't get any more jail out of this.
Jimmy doesn't get any jail out of this. Well, he better get himself a real fucking lawyer then, hadn't he?
In the matter of the police versus James Richard Loughnan, Mr. Newman is appearing for the prosecution. The defendant is not represented.
Now, Mr. Reid, have you been searched prior to your appearance in this courtroom today?
Yeah, by all and sundry. Everyone's had a go at it.
And why do you think that is, Mr. Reid?
Well, they searched everyone, especially you, Mr. Loughnan.
I'll put it to you that the reason you were searched so thoroughly is because you have a history of violent behaviour in courtrooms. Are you not currently serving a sentence of 14 and a half years for the attempted abduction of a judge?
That's 16 and a half years, Jimmy. 16 and a half years.
I'm told you used a shotgun in this attempted abduction, is that so?
Yeah, right here under my coat.
Oh, yeah, nothing down there now, huh?
Oh, I wish there was.
I bet you do. Who would you like to use it on, hey? This judge?
No, I'd use it on you at the moment.
Yeah, I bet you would. You hold human life very cheap, don't you, Mr. Reid?
Some human life, yeah.
Oh, you have a lot of hostility towards me, don't you?
No, perish the thought. Even lent you that suit you're wearing in court today.
You lent him that suit?
Yeah. I realise it's not a fashion competition, Your Honour, but if he'd have worn what he's going to wear, you'd have given him 20 years for bad taste.
All right. I am a friend of yours, am I not?
It's been alleged you're a friend of mine.
And you are, in fact, serving a sentence of 17 years because you tried to free me from jail. Is that so?
Yes.
And yet you've told the court that I attacked you on the morning of August 20th. Is that right?
Yes.
Why would I attack you, Mr. Reid?
Who knows how your mind works, Jim?
So all the people we've heard in court today, some of them you consider to be your friends, they're all telling lies?
Just a group of people banding together to fight a common enemy.
Even your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Armed police surrounded Brunswick Court today during a case involving notorious prisoner Mark Brandon Reed. Reed was giving evidence at the committal proceedings of fellow prisoner James...
Check this out, Blue. Hey, I'm the one on trial. He's the one all over the news.
A half-page article on Mark.
That's a nice little photo of you, Jimmy. A nice little photo.
You're such a fucking show pony, aren't you?
You could use that in your passport.
You fucking big head wanker! Keith was right about you, mate. You bash people for no reason just to get a name for yourself.
Yeah, well, one day they'll write a book about me, Jimmy, and when you grow old and your grandkids ask you, you know, what you used to do in your heyday, you'll be able to say, with great pride, that you couldn't kill Mark Chopper Reed. And that'll be your claim to fame.
Do you hear that, Chopper? You're dead now, mate. You've got no friends left.
You think I fucking give a shit?
Mark turns away from yelling at the ceiling.
Mark!
And kicks a wall instead. Later, in an office at the prison.
Now, if you could just see it in your hearts to move me to sail, I'd be really appreciative. Geelong's a dirty old hole.
Come on, Mark, you're classified as a maximum security prisoner. You're in here convicted of a very serious offence.
Suppose a bribe's out of the question?
Mark, this is not a joke.
Well, I'm not joking. I'll be getting $5,000 crimes compo when Jimmy and I finish up at the Supreme Court.
Look, Mark, a bribe is out of the question. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah, but if I stay in here, I'm dead.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry about that, but nothing can be done.
A hint of fear enters Mark's expression.
Mr. Beasley?
The officer who said he was on Mark's side earlier.
Mr. Beasley.
Mark nods and sits up.
Righto. I'm out of H Division today.
You're not going anywhere, Mark.
Yeah? Let's go.
An inmate is cutting into Mark's right ear.
Don't saw at it.
Trying to be gentle, mate.
You fucking idiot. Rip into it. Slash it off.
Jimmy and the others watch through a grate.
Oh, Jesus!
The other one.
Having removed a large fleshy strip from the right ear, the sickened inmate starts on the left.
You're not going to get me for this later, are you?
Just get on with it, you fucking fairy. Rip into it.
The inmate slices the left ear.
Get a screw, would you?
Fucking bleeding, Chop. Boss, bleeding.
You've got to stop the bleeding, okay? Boss. You're going to need cold water. You've got to get yourself into the shower, right?
You talking to me now, eh? Hey? After all I've done for you, I took you from tears to fucking glory, and you do this to me. I'm not angry at you, Jim. Just broke my heart, that's all.
Get out of Haste Division, eh? You practically ran down and carried me out, haven't you? Look at you.
Get him out.
I told you I'd get out, didn't I? Have a look who's fucking leaving, boss.
Get him out!
It's no big deal, boss. They can be bloody
safe. Headlines: danger prisoner cuts own ears off with a razor blade and butchered behind bars. 1986. In slow motion, Mark's smoking a cigarette whilst walking down a bustling public street. He has a stocky build, a moustache and short dark brown hair. He's wearing a thick black coat over a red patterned shirt. He stares to one side with a thoughtful expression, not bothering to look where he's going. A semi-naked woman. She's wearing leopard skin patterned underwear and is holding a pair of tights. Mark's sitting on a similarly patterned bed, his top half exposed, displaying his burly torso and tattoos. He studies the woman whilst holding a beer in one hand and a cigarette in the other. She kneels down beside him.
You're looking at me ears, aren't you?
Well, you weren't thinking of me when you did that, were you?
Tanya has brown hair with blonde highlights. She makes eye contact with Mark whilst squirting a clear liquid from a syringe into her mouth. the bedrooms in garish tones of pink and red.
I missed you, Barb.
Did you?
He runs his fingers through her hair, and she gives him a pouting look.
Look, I'm out of it now, right? I made as a top street fighter. I made as a top crim. I've got nothing to prove any further, right? You got to keep moving forward, otherwise you'll bloody perish. There's no point going backwards, you know? You got to keep moving forward. What are you doing?
Give me your arm.
She wedges his arm under her knee.
Oh, not with that, bud. Come on.
Oh, shut up. Give me your arm.
No, I hate it like that.
It's just a bit of girly.
With his forearm squeezed under her knee, she injects him. He sits upright and closes his eyes.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, are you all right? Hello? Are you there? Hang on, I'll check. Oh, you've given up crime, eh?
She's found a gun. A television's playing in a cosy flat as Mark enters. He closes the door behind him quietly, but the noise stirs an elderly man sleeping in an armchair.
Mark, is that you?
Oh, Dad, sorry, you're asleep.
Come in here, Mark.
No, you're right. You go back to sleep, Dad.
Now come in here. You haven't been out for 10 years. Where you been all day?
You're right, Dad. You look tired. You go back to sleep, huh?
Nah, get in here. Get in here and talk to your old dad. Been away for 10 years.
Mark sets his bag down and sits.
Sitting here waiting all day. If you don't sit there, sit over here. Sit over here in this chair. I've been sitting around all day waiting for you.
While his dad rubs sleep from his eyes, Mark slumps wearily into an armchair.
You want a drink?
Yeah.
Keith Reed shuffles past his son into the kitchen. He has receding thin grey hair and is wearing a Burberry dressing gown. Mark taps a cigarette from a pack he had in his pocket and lights up as his dad returns with 2 beers. He gives one to Mark.
Good to have you home, son.
Mark twists off the bottle cap.
Well, cheers, big ears.
Mark lowers his bottle, looking away in annoyance. Keith swigs his beer regardless, savouring the taste.
Nice shirt, son.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing, it's good. I like it.
You like it?
They make them for men.
Mark's eyes narrow. He shakes his head and sighs.
Come on, don't be a sook.
Mark looks at his dad as if about to say something, but then hesitates.
All right, Mum. Told her I was getting out.
Oh, yeah? Did you hear anything from him?
No.
Of course you didn't.
Mark smiles, revealing several metal-capped teeth.
I heard your mate Jimmy Loughnan's at large.
Ah, that old chestnut.
Yeah, he beat the charge. I always told you, Mark, didn't I? Your kindness would be the death of you.
Look, he's fucked, Dad. He's a bloody chronic junkie.
Oh, yeah. Your mate.
Life got him back in the end. It all bloody equals out, doesn't it?
Yeah, equals out, all right. He stabs you in the guts and he gets off. You do 10 years. All equals out. Your mate Jimmy. Jimmy Loughnan.
Keith swigs with a look of disgust on his face. A car's tail lights. Mark's with Tanya.
Hey, Bubby, you walk on the inside. Gentleman walks on the outside, so it's called etiquette.
Oh, yeah, haven't heard that one before.
What's from the days when they had the horse-drawn carriages? And the mud used to splash up from the gutter? Just in case any mud splashes up, I'm here to protect you.
Are you? Thanks, sweetheart.
Piss off, you're blocking up your
entrance. People in here, mate. Hey, Chopper! Good to see you out, mate.
Good to see you, mate. Looking great.
Keep it dark, fellas, will you?
What?
Just say good to see you out, mate.
It's like I got a fucking sign on me with you guys carrying on like that. Just,
I'm sorry,
you know?
I'm sorry,
sorry, mate.
Just fucking got out.
Don't
make a big fucking deal.
I'm just happy to see you out, you know? Out and around.
Mark glares.
Good to see me, is it? Huh?
Yeah.
Paul, the bouncer, shifts anxiously.
Just have a good night.
We have a good night.
Tanya leads Mark through the club, lights flashing over a crowded dance floor. She tries to keep his attention by kissing him, but he keeps looking around with a paranoid expression. A sleazy-looking man in an open-chested shirt and jacket taps Mark on the shoulder. He has two men with him, one on either side.
Oi.
The man tries again.
Oi. G'day, Chopper. Heard you out.
Mark eyes them uneasily. The man has several gold chains hanging around his neck and mid-length curly black hair.
Were you kidding me? Well, you forgot? Nah, you're fucking kidding me.
Mark suddenly remembers.
Fuck Neville. That's right, mate, you got it in one. Neville fucking Bardos. You see, you did fucking remember. Of course you did. What was it, mate? What was it you forgot, eh?
How are you, mate? Are you good?
What do you reckon? Take a fucking look. Huh? Have a fucking geese. What do you think I'm good? Of course I'm fucking good. Yeah.
Mark puts his arm around Tanya and Neville eyes them both.
Listen, Nev, about the leg. I'm sorry, mate, you know, that bloody upsets me. It plays on my mind a bit, you know?
No. That was 10 years ago, mate. It was water under the bridge. Just forget about it, okay? No, seriously, forget about it, all right? Because I've forgotten about it, so don't worry about it, you know? Plus, I've got clients comp by payout, pension as well, eh?
Really? Big bloody payout, eh? And not a drink in it for me. Not even a fucking thank you card.
No, you got me there. No, you got me there. What are you drinking? I'll get you a fucking bottle, all right? I'm gonna get you a fucking bottle, all right? Because what's mine is yours, okay? Now, would your girl like a drink?
Masala and Coke?
Masala and Coke. Right, good choice. Nick, I need some drinks over here. Quick, sticks, all right? I want a bottle of masala and a bottle of Coke, and for you,
beer.
Get us a couple of beers too, Nick, quick.
Later, Neville's chatting to a blonde. Mark watches them from across the club and winces.
Look at bloody liberty. Putting on that link, trying to get me to feel sorry for him.
Seemed all right. Seemed quite genuine.
Oh, well, you would think he was genuine, wouldn't you? The way he was staring into your eyes.
Yeah, I'm
As strobe lights flash over Mark's face, he's unable to look away from Neville.
Fucking cripple.
Don't worry about it, Mark. Don't worry about it.
Tanya crunches some ice and goes to kiss Mark.
He's done very bloody well for himself too, hasn't he?
Mark, leave him alone.
But Mark's fixated with Neville.
Fuck, I'm gonna nip this in the bud.
Mark, don't.
Tanya watches him across the club.
You're like suckers, haven't you? Come back to my place and you'll get a couple of months.
To Neville.
Listen, you're not still shitting me about that leg, are you?
What?
You're not still angry at me about the leg, are you?
Forget about it.
Because I don't know if you remember, Neville, but I had that bloody shotgun pointed at your head. I reconsidered and dropped it down to your kneecap, remember?
Forget about it, all right?
What the bloody hell were you doing getting lippy with me with the bloody shotgun? I had a bloody loaded shotgun.
The leg is okay, all right? I mean, fuck. Look at me, mate. Look at me. I'm flying. I'm fucking flying. Now, go back to your girl, relax, okay? Forget the leg. I'll get you another drink, all right?
Moments later, Mark walks away with two beers in his hand, but stops dead when he sees Tanya lighting a man's cigarette for him. The guy thanks her and moves on. Mark stares at him as he passes.
Chop chop! Do it.
Mark goes back over to Tanya and looks at her uneasily as he sits down.
Who was that?
The man, Sammy the Turk, catches Mark's stare out of the corner of his eye.
Just leave it, Bobby. Don't worry about it.
You look at me, or you look straight ahead. You don't make eye contact with anyone, right?
She sighs, and he slaps her.
Come on, we're going.
No.
Get your fucking jet.
Tanya struggles against Mark as he barges through a throng of people. Neville seems mildly amused.
What are you fucking looking at, Hopalong?
Nothing, mate. Nothing at all.
You got a problem? You fucking cripple?
No problem between you and me.
Wanna fucking finish it? Come on, fucking finish it!
What the fuck
are
they doing?
Having fired several rounds into the club's ceiling, Mark's now sitting in the passenger seat of a car. Tanya's beside him, looking annoyed.
I'm sorry, Bobby.
I get a bit bloody schizo or something, you know? It's like, it's not easy, you know? I go out, everyone's staring at my ears, they're staring at my tats, you know? I've done some mad things, bub, you know? Fucking done some mad things. Now I've got a bloody team of enemies, you know?
You should lay off the speed.
I'm trying to think of the last time I actually took some time to be normal, you know? Stood there and looked at a bloody sunset or, you know, go to a bloody bar. I can't go to a bar, right, and have a relaxed bloody beer. I can't go to a restaurant and have a relaxed bloody meal. I've got to sit there with my back against the wall in case someone comes in. You know, it's like my luck can't bloody last forever. Barb.
He puts an arm on her headrest.
I'll get us some money together, right? I've got some money coming in. What say you and I? We go down to fucking Tassie, right? And we make our own bloody life together.
She looks at his sincere expression.
No offence, but I think I'd rather keep working at the brothel.
He looks hurt.
Oh, I can't stop working, Bubby. I tried. Oh. What's the matter, honey?
Mark's eyes widen.
Who is he?
No, Bubby.
Yeah. It's a fucking Neville fucking Bartos, isn't it?
Mark, you're not going to start all this again, are you?
Fucking talking to you, who is he?
Fuck, you're hurting me. Ow!
Is it Neville Bartos?
Let go. Let go of me.
Neville Bartos.
Fucking let go of me. Jesus. What is wrong with you?
Fucking knew it. Just bloody tell me, right? Who are you fucking?
Mark. Everyone. We're in a fucking brothel.
That's not what I mean. You fucking know. You know what I mean. Who are you kissing?
Seething, he holds out his hand, expecting an answer. She turns to him and starts toying with his fingers. Then leans over and rubs noses with him playfully. They start to kiss.
You. See? I'm kissing you.
You get away from me with that mouth that's touched a walk's cock.
Oh, you're fucking nice, aren't you? Fucked. Fuck.
As she gets out of the car, he spits at her, then looks regretful. He puts a cigarette in his mouth and lights up, then tries to see where Tanya went. He gets out of the car. Leaving the car's headlights on, he goes up a set of steps beside a house. He walks along a path beside a well-kept flower bed, then up another set of steps into a front porch, where he tentatively knocks on a glass-panelled front door. Tanya stands on the other side of it.
What do you want?
It's me, Mark.
I know who it is. What do you want?
Come on, Bubby, just let us in, would ya?
Nah, Mark. What do you want? What do you want?
I'm sorry, Bubby. I'm sorry.
Yeah, righto. I don't want to see you, Mark.
I love you, Bubby.
Oh, pull the other fucking one.
I need to see you, Tanya.
No, I'm not letting you in. You got that?
Come on, Tanya, come
no,
on.
No, fuck it, no.
Just talk.
No, I've heard it before. Yeah, all right.
Tanya!
She walks away.
I'm going then.
He stands there.
I'm fucking going.
He throws his hand up dismissively and finally walks away along the path, glancing back at the door as he goes. He paces up to the car and kicks it frustratedly. He rips off the wing mirror and a wiper, which he hurls towards the house. Moments later, he paces back towards the front door. Tanya's on the phone in the hall when he kicks the door in.
Hello? Who's it? Is that you, Neville?
You fucking tip rat.
Righto, Tanya, you come with me. Oh,
piss off, Mark. Mark, get out of my house. Mark, listen to me.
Mum, you stay out of it, right? I'm not going to bloody hurt her.
Mark!
So you're scaring your bloody mum.
For goodness sake! Mark, stop!
Tanya, you, get here.
She tears upstairs.
Get here, Tanya!
Why? Mark!
Why Neville?
He punches her in the face.
Oh, for God's sake!
Will you run, Mark, get out of here! Ah!
He headbutts Tanya's mother, then looks around.
Have a look what you've done. Have a look what you've gone and done. Your mum's upset.
He walks away, leaving Tanya sprawled on the bathroom floor, sobbing quietly. Now in a quiet bar.
I'm a bloody disappointment to you, aren't I?
What?
Well, you've probably read all the newspaper stories about me, and you've heard the word on the street about me, and you've got a picture in your head of what bloody Chopper Reed's like, and we're sitting here at this bar, all very nice and cosy, and I'm a bit of a bloody letdown to you.
The two suited men share a look.
What are you on about, Mark?
I feel like I should be doing more for you, Mr. Downey, to be honest. You know, these crims out there, they get around like a bloody protected species. You know? Why? I mean, look, I know you blokes don't mind turning the occasional blind eye whilst I deal out my own bit of poetic justice, right?
Actually, Mark, that's not the way we operate.
Mark swigs from a glass of beer.
I understand perfectly, Mr. Downey. There are certain things that you can't appear to condone.
Look, appearance has got nothing to do with it. We don't condone them.
Amused by the detective's stern expressions, Mark salutes.
I understand, Mr. Downey.
Elsewhere, Mark pushes the buzzer on an intercom. Mark primes his gun and tucks it into his trousers. A large garage opens automatically.
Hey, who's it, huh? Hey, who is it?
It's me.
What the fuck do you want, huh?
Well, is Neville home?
Hey, Nev! Hey, Nev, hello there!
Discuss it,
Neville limps forward and notices Mark.
What the fuck do you want?
Look, Nev, I just come over to apologise, mate.
How the fuck do you find where I live?
Look, don't worry about it. Look, I'm a bit embarrassed about what happened the other night. I just come over to bloody apologise and clear it up.
Neville wanders over.
You mad bastard. Oh, you got a nerve coming around here. No fucking about. This is a very good neighbourhood, mate. Okay? No fucking around. You understand?
Open the gates, Nev. Come on.
I'm going to let you in. You're playing the game by my rules, right?
Yeah, it's your house, mate. You know, it's your house.
Yeah, it's a lovely house, too.
Full respect, mate, you know?
There better be respect, mate.
Total respect.
Hey, is that back garage shut, Nick, or what?
Yeah.
Sure?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kick it out.
You're bloody kidding.
How well have I done, mate, eh? Who's the king, eh? Who's the king? Huh?
Very nice.
Hey, what are you doing, mate? Throwing your cigarettes on the grass? Nick, pick it up, will you? Pick it up. Oh, get it off.
Don't throw it.
Jesus. What are you guys doing? You're following me around like a bad smell. It's like you want to fuck me up the ass. Go inside. Mix some fucking drinks or something. Will you just get out of here? Fuck.
That explains your limp.
Hey?
Can you dive in?
No, sorry. No grubs allowed. Here, come and look at me babies, will you? They beautiful or what, eh?
Whatever you do, don't use a name on those bowls, all right? They're aliases.
What? Well, don't look at me like that. What? Some smart cunt comes here, looking to rip me off, uses those names, and those dogs will fucking eat them to pieces. Here, check this out.
Neville sprinkles white powder into the dog's bowls.
Neville?
Hey?
You bloody right. I should report you to the fucking RSPCA, you idiot.
Nah, mate. They like it. Nah, they do. We dogs do. Keeps them alert, eh? Can't let's see if those poo jabbers have got the fucking drinks ready, come.
Later, Mark snorts a line and swigs a can of beer. Nick does the same.
Hey, Nick. Neville's turning over a bit of this stuff, is he?
Yeah, mate, he's got all the fucking speed in the western suburbs, huh?
Really?
Huh?
He's doing well then, isn't he? Tell me, you reckon he'd want to throw a bit of cash my way?
Yeah, mate, I don't think he'll go for that.
Well, fuck him, he'll have to go for it.
Hey, Neville! Nev!
Yeah?
Hey, Nev, I hear you want to give me a bit of money.
Where'd you hear that, mate?
It's just the mail. I can collect it now if you like.
I think someone's pulling your leg, mate.
Someone's pulling your leg, Neville. Someone will pull your other fucking leg in a minute. Now, how much you want to give me?
Who do you think you're talking to, mate? Eh? Hey, who do you think you're talking to? I'm Neville Bardos. You remember that? Or has your fucking memory lapsed, you fucking idiot?
What?
Who do you think you're talking to, mate?
Oh, sorry. Was I being rude?
Yes, mate. You were being very fucking rude. You fucking dickhead. And you want to make some money, you make it yourself. Get him a drink, Nick. And behave. I said behave. Fucking idiot. You believe that fucking cunt or what?
Hey, Neville.
Just relax.
And I'm only giving him a bloody rev up. Neville. I'm sorry, mate. Where are you? Neville. Bloody sorry, mate. I've had a couple of drinks, so I get a bit bloody carried away. I've just been out, you know, fuck me. Sorry. Had a bit of go here, you know.
I don't know who you think you're talking to, mate, but you're being very rude, do you understand? Show me some respect, will you? Oh, very, very rude.
You're Robert? On my money. I'm fucking rude. Embarrassed, you know? I'm fucking embarrassed. I'm fucking sorry. Nev, I'm sorry.
All right, mate, apology accepted. Now let it go, will you? Relax, take it easy. Fuck, I'm trying to relax over here.
They're reclining on a black leather three-piece suite. Mark brushes ash off his thigh.
But seriously, Nev, like, how you holding for cash? I'm a bit bloody broke.
Listen, mate, what are you talking about?
Cash.
There's no cash here. Here, there's no cash, all right? Cash, no. Robbo?
No cash.
Neville throws his arms up.
I'll tell you what, you try getting from where you're sitting to the front door. Because I reckon I could shoot you from where you're sitting to the front door. Because that's about as long as you've got to produce some money for me right now. I'll give you 20 seconds to produce some cash, or else I'll fucking shoot you. One, two,
I've got no cash, mate. Four, five,
six. Robbo stands up.
Nine. Sit the fuck down. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
He's shot Neville just above the hip.
Oh. God. What the fuck are you doing, mate? Jesus Christ, relax. He's not your enemy.
Well, he fucking is now, isn't he?
Get a fucking rag!
Forget the rag, boys. Get the fucking cash, would ya?
Bloody frozen. How long's it gonna take to defrost that, you idiot?
He's in a bad way, mate.
What's the matter, Neville? Did you burst your bloody appendix or something? You having a whinge?
Come on, Chopper, we gotta get him to a hospital.
So you took him to the hospital?
No, I didn't take him to the bloody hospital. Now tell me this, right? Why would I shoot a bloke, bang, and then put him in the bloody car and whiz him off to the hospital at 100 miles an hour? It defeats the purpose of having shot him in the first place. What's more, it's bloody insulting. It's bloody insulting. I mean, am I the only bloody standover man in the country who provides a medical plan for some of these characters? Do I look like Mark Brennan, Medicare Reed or something?
All right, who's bloody driving?
Nick and Robbo carry Neville to the garage.
Such a big fuss over such a little hole. Put one in the brain, Nick.
Mark, come on, man. Jesus Christ, let's get him. Chopper, come on, mate. You don't do this for your mates.
They ease Neville into a yellow sports car and he leans out to speak.
You're a dead man, Chopper. You're walking around with one foot in the fucking grave.
Get in, you fucking gollywog.
Mark climbs in the passenger side.
Hospital driver.
In the bar, Detective Cooney to Mark.
He says you took him to the hospital.
You've spoken to him, have you?
Well, it's just what he's been saying around town.
Look, you'd do well to have a good look at the motives behind him saying that.
Why would he say it if it's not true?
I don't know. I'm not a bloody psychiatrist, am I?
Look, Mark, this is no fucking joke, right? We've heard you, and I don't fucking appreciate this. We've heard you've been running around town telling all and sundry that you've got some kind of umbrella arrangement with us. That we've given you virtual carte blanche to commit crime.
No. Mr. Downey, that's rubbish, right? That's complete fucking bullshit.
Fucking oath it's bullshit.
Listen, you get these bloody speed freaks together, right? They'll create all kinds of fanciful stories.
Oh, yeah? Well, the other fanciful story doing the rounds is that they put out a contract on you.
Oh, fucking mafia. Wankers, who are they anyway? Bloody fruit shop owners. They should stick to selling their bloody fruit and vegetable and just fucking leave me alone.
You know, I'd be taking this seriously if I was you.
Oh, I'm taking it seriously. Oh, I'm bloody shaking in my boots.
A man and his girlfriend have come in.
Now, apparently, they're going to try and get you at Bojangles. Anastopoulos and Bartos are going to Sydney for the weekend, so obviously they're not fucking around.
Well, you know what? They should bloody stay in Sydney, those fucking razzle-dazzle wankers. It'd suit their style, you know? Any time you ever see a bloody Sydney criminal on the television is when he's lying in the gutter, dead after being killed by a bloody imported Melbourne hitman.
I really think you should be taking this seriously, mate.
Taking it seriously, trust me.
Jimmy Luffnan's name's also been mentioned.
Jimmy Luffnan? Oh, he's a fucking couch potato.
That's what we heard.
Jimmy Luffnan? You sure?
Get the fuck up now! What? Come on, fuck ya, Jesus.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Put it away. Put the fucking thing away, will you? Put it away. Oh, fuck you. Put the fucking thing away. Jeez.
You want to have a look?
No, fuck off.
Mark had taken out his penis and was brandishing it to the man's girlfriend. Now he's standing outside an apartment door with the number 127 readying his gun. He knocks. The woman scratches her pregnant belly while Jimmy goes to answer the door.
Who is it?
It's Mark.
Mark who?
Chopper.
Mark reaches for his gun.
What are you doing coming round here?
Look, Jim, all those problems we've had, they're all in the past. And all these rumours that are flying around, well, they're all bullshit. I just want to come in, I want to be friends.
What rumours?
That I'm going to clip you.
I haven't heard that one.
Well, it's not true. Look, just let us in, would you?
Look, mate, I'm not letting you in, right? I've got kids here. They're just little kids, and they would be afraid by seeing a man with no ears.
Right.
It's nothing personal.
No, that's no problem.
Who is it?
Come on, Jim, look, just let us in. I'll come in, have a chat. Come on, mate. I don't bloody bite.
All right. All right. Just hang on. Get out of the way.
Jimmy points a gun at him.
You armed?
Of course I'm bloody armed. I've got a bunch of peanuts trying to kill me. Would I get around without my fucking guns?
All right. Well, you throw them in. You throw them all in or I'm not going to let you in. All right? Throw them in first. Okay?
Mark takes a shiny revolver from the waistband of his trousers and throws it through the crack in the door. The woman picks it up. He throws in another two guns.
Stick of jelly, Mike. Very nice. Is that it?
Now, one more.
Mark straightens up.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Very nice looking.
I know you.
Ladies' gun? Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, it's a girl's gun, but it does the job.
Jimmy lets Mark in.
Mark, this is my fiancée, Mandy.
Hello, Mandy.
Hey.
Fiancée, hey? Jeez, mate, you better speed it up and make an honest woman out of her quick. The bun's nearly cooked. Look at that.
Yeah, Jim.
Hello? Hello? You got your finger in your mouth there, little one.
Is it over there? What am I? Making a cup of tea, I suppose.
No, you don't like him at all. She doesn't like him at all.
This is plush, mate. This is swank. Who says crime doesn't pay?
She's a nice girl.
You got yourself a family now, Jim. Hey, little girl, hello. That's lovely, mate. I don't reckon I could ever have a family, though. They're the sort of thing that could be used against you, if you know what I mean. No, not that, like the way it sounded, but you know what I mean. Are you right there, love? It's the office, look out.
How come you haven't got any ears?
How come I haven't got any ears? You're a cheeky little girl, aren't you? Hey?
Hey, man, you get Shazzy off to bed now, OK? Hey, wake up. Come on, twinkle toes. Yeah, yeah. Up. Let's go.
You're right, oh.
It's bedtime.
I don't want to go to bed.
Not you, Shazzy. It's Shazzy's bedtime.
Oh, yeah.
Put her to bed.
Righto.
Good on you, Shazzy.
Night, Shazzy. See you, Shazzy. Take Mummy to bed.
I'll just get you
another gun. See you, Shazzy. Good night.
Good night, Uncle Chop.
All right. Night, Chazza.
All right. With a fag in her mouth, Mandy takes her little girl to bed, leaving Jimmy and Mark alone in the grotty living room. Jimmy takes a swig from a whiskey bottle, then screws on the cap. Mark watches him with a mocking smile.
Jesus, Jim. You really have landed on your bloody knees, haven't you?
Jimmy fixes him with a glare.
Mark, what are you doing here, mate?
What? Can't I visit a mate? You and I were very best of friends.
Jimmy looks uneasy, whirls of blue smoke wafting from his cigarette.
Jimmy? I do have a couple of questions for you, though. Yeah, I've got a couple of questions. Now, the first question is there something you're supposed to be telling me?
No.
Mark stares at him.
There's nothing you're supposed to be telling me.
No, mate.
Everything that's happened in the past, I'll wash it all away, so long as there's nothing I need to know now.
No.
You're not angry at me for anything?
Mate, no, I'm not angry with you. It's all water under the bridge, mate.
No new water, no fresh buckets coming around since then?
No fresh buckets coming around, mate.
Okay, good. Now, the second question. Are you employed at the moment? Are you gainfully employed?
There's the thought.
How much are you using?
You know, I've got a handle on it. It's... Fucking H division, mate.
The only thing you ever had a bloody handle on, Jimmy Laughlin, was the occasional knife handle when things got a bit too much for you, eh? Knife handle on the old chop chop. Jimmy, listen. I'm going to show you something. Now, if this goes any further, my life's in danger and you'll be the one who's getting killed, all right? Now, have a look at this. I need someone to help me work it. Guess who I'm working for now?
Jimmy shakes his head and shrugs.
Bloody guess. Have a bloody guess.
Fuck.
Wrong. Begins with C. Amanda Duncan. Amanda Duncan.
Cops?
Yeah. I got a fucking green light from him. Have a look at this. Dirty Dick Downey. Yeah, he looks like a fucking accountant, but he's a hard bastard. Super Steve Cooney, look out, Super Steve. You heard about Neville Bartos' burst appendix?
Yeah.
That was me and the raincoat men. Danny was driving the fucking car.
And you drove him to the hospital?
No, I didn't drive him to the bloody hospital. Do I look like Mother Teresa to you?
Jimmy picks up the whiskey bottle and takes another swig.
You know him, do you?
Who?
Fucking who? Neville.
What are
are you doing standing there, sticky nose?
I fucking live here! You shouldn't be talking about this stuff here! We've got kids here!
Fuck, go and do the dishes!
You fucking shut up!
Don't come back here when we're talking business, all right?
Business, yeah. I bet you got a briefcase, have you?
Mark's glaring at Jimmy.
So there's nothing you're supposed to be telling me, Jim?
No, mate.
Nothing about a contract that's out on me?
Mate, you must have 24 contracts out on you.
Yeah, well, apparently Neville Bartos and Nick Anastopoulos and the rest of the fairy godfathers have put a contract out on me.
Well, mate, I don't know anything about it, right?
Really? You see, I heard you're the one that's supposed to do it.
Mark presses a gun against Jimmy's head.
But I guess it's a case of first in, best dressed, isn't it?
No, you're being fucking paranoid, right?
Yeah, well, just because I'm being paranoid doesn't mean people aren't trying to kill me, Jim.
Look, I got kids here, mate. I got kids here, okay?
Somebody really likes you. He speaks highly of you. He wouldn't fucking try and knock you.
Fucking sure he fucking does.
Well, fucking, did you see me? You want to see me?
Put the gun
in front of my kids. Go on there. I fucking dare you.
Don't
shoot me in front of my kids. Go on, you fucking cunt. Go on.
Mark tenses.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. I didn't mean to bloody scare you.
He sits down again. A little later, Mark's heading out.
You gotta relax a bit, you know? You gotta take it easy. You gotta fucking get out of town.
Yeah.
You're jumping at shadows, aren't you?
Yeah, whatever. Look at you, though. Bloody hell. You're going bad, Jim. You got bloody kids and everything. For Christ's sake, here, fix your house up, fix your bloody kids up, get your life into order. You can't live like this, it's bloody terrible. Take it. Jim, mother's a drug addict, for fuck's sake. That's not for drugs.
Mark gives Jimmy a note, then heads off. Jimmy looks at the money, then goes back into the apartment.
Oh, Jim, don't slam the fucking door, the kids are asleep. They were. Jesus, who are you ringing?
Get dressed, we're going out.
Oh, going out. Where are we going? We've got no money. Where are we going?
Just get dressed, we're going out, okay? Get me my gun, get me my jacket, quick.
Jesus, where are we going?
4 o'clock, it's gonna be fun, good. Neville. Laughlin. Yeah, he's just been here. Just left my place.
Where's he fucking going?
He's gone to Bojangles.
Bojangles, great. Oh, I'll get a jacket.
Right.
At Bojangles.
Fuck Neville Bartos. He couldn't have the fluff knocked off a bloody cappuccino.
He's saying that you're two-faced.
I'm not bloody two-faced.
Mate, the word is, and I'm hearing it everywhere, that you're working for the cops.
Who says that?
Hey, I'm hearing it everywhere.
You got to look at the motives behind the people saying this stuff. I'm not well-liked, are you?
Do you realise it's the world's worst best-kept secret that I'm giving you bloody information?
You think there's us running around telling people about this stuff? I mean, that'd be sort of counterproductive.
I like the smiling face, Mr. Danny, and you know I like you, but I'm an expert at playing mind games. I'll set my little traps and I'll find out where the leak is coming from.
Drop a dash.
Hello.
It's good to see you, my friend.
You want drink?
No, that's all right, mate. Thank you.
I'll buy you drink. I have plenty of money. I'll buy you 2,000 beer, huh?
Come on.
I'll buy you drink.
Later, all right?
You don't forget.
Thanks.
You want drink? Come see me, okay?
Mark heads over to a man.
Who's that?
Fucking mob character up at the bar.
Just sent me the two.
Really?
Later, Mark's leaving the club with Sammy the Turk.
You want to know if you've got friends? I can hear very much because I have a big
dick. What are you touching me for all the time? You're bloody homosexual or something.
Why are you scared? I don't touch you.
I'm just scared. Just don't touch me, you bloody
poof. Okay. Where's your car?
It's up there.
Which one?
Keep going.
Where?
Mark takes out a gun.
Hey, is that the gun, huh?
Yeah, it's a gun. It's fucking pointed at you. Now, whose team are you on?
What?
Whose team are you on?
Team? Footscray.
Fucking comedian too, are you?
Yeah, funny.
Why'd you fucking bring me out here?
What?
The smile drops from Sammy's face.
No, no, drop. You bring me here. Huh? You're fucking good, aren't you?
Yes, I'm good. I'm friend to you, yeah?
Oh, yeah, you're a fucking friend, aren't you? Bringing me out here in the middle of the fucking night. What for?
Seek their land, huh? Hey. Seek their land!
What? What's that mean?
You are? You want English?
Speak fucking English. It's Australia. Well,
fuck you, then. And it's English.
Mark shoots Sammy in the face. He totters on his feet and stumbles forward, clutching his left eye.
You right? Oh, fuck. Just look.
Sit the line in there.
Shit. You all right? Oh, fuck, I'm sorry, mate.
Sammy stumbles forward a few steps, then slumps onto the ground. Mark looks down at his lifeless body with a shocked expression. Mark stares with a look of disgust at the blood and brain matter spattered on the ground around Sammy's head. He glances around, then looks back down at the body with a remorseful frown. He leans down and checks inside Sammy's jacket. He stands up and walks away, putting his gun inside his jacket. Mandy's been hiding behind a van, watching the whole thing.
Jimmy! 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 That fucking lunatic just shot a bloke. He just shot him in the fucking eye!
Don't fucking fire at me, no!
Who's this bloke? I don't know! Shut the fuck up, Marcus! I never fucking liked you! Let me in the car!
Who's
this bloke? Let me get him!
Mark to Cooney and Downing.
Now this character, right, he's following me around all night. He's got his arm around me all night. He's buying me drinks, in my bloody company, right here, all frickin' night. I didn't know him from a bar of soap. You know me, I don't go out of my way to befriend our ethnic cousins. He's Turkish or something. I've got enough on my plate as it is.
So, yeah, go on.
He wants to sell me this gun, right? He says he's got all these guns in the car outside. And, I didn't have 10 cents on me, right? But I don't think he had a gun salesman's license either. I thought if he wants to sell me a gun, I'll relieve him of it. So we go out. He's very keen to get me into this car park, mind you, right?
Well, so did you go outside with him?
Yeah. So what happened was we go to the car park. Now, Bojangles has got two car parks, right? I head to the main car park, and he pulls me up. He says,
No, drop it, Abby. This way, over here. I park over here, on this side. Plenty guns, very good guns.
I get a bit bloody suspicious, because this car park, it's not very well lit. It's pitch bloody black.
Right here.
And I walk out there, I'm following him, and he stops dead. And he turns around, and he's looking over my bloody shoulder. This fucking prick is checking for bloody witnesses, right? All of a sudden, he turns around, he says,
Wait. Chopper, you got gun? You got gun, huh?
Yeah, he's walking towards me. You got gun? Huh? I said, yeah, I got a gun.
What's that?
He says,
what's that? Huh? What's that? Show me, please.
Show me your fucking gun. He's dying to see my bloody gun, right? Now, I had the gun down the front of my pants, right? So I've lifted up my bloody jacket. I've looked down at my gun, and this cheeky little fucking rat, he's grabbed the gun as quick as lightning, he's pulled it out, and he's pointed at my head, and he's gone click, 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 this with the trigger. But it's not going off. It's a 32 automatic, right? Now, as you fellas know, unless you've got the hammer pulled back, it's not going to go off. It's inoperative. You can pull the trigger all bloody day long, and it's not going to go off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. So, what happened then?
So he's got the gun at my head. He's going click, click, click. And I've got the 410 shotgun down the back of my pants, so I pull it out. Now, it's a tiny little bloody 410 shotgun. He's going click, click, click. I'm thinking to myself, shit, it's only going to take him a couple of seconds to work this thing out with a hammer. So I've pulled out the bloody 410 and I just go fucking bang.
A bullet pummels through Sammy's eye.
And that was it.
In slow motion, Sammy falls to the ground.
He just bloody fell over.
Sitting in the bar listening to the story, Downey fixes Mark with a firm stare. He glances at Cooney, who looks bewildered.
Mark, what game are you playing? Is this another one of your little traps?
What do you mean?
I mean, are you testing us? You want to see if we're going to go rushing off to the homicide squad and dob you in?
What?
We know you didn't shoot the Turk.
I just told you I shot the Turk.
Now pick up the bloke that did it.
What fucking bloke that did it? I did it.
No, homicide have picked up the guy, right? They've even got the murder weapon.
What murder weapon?
410 shotgun.
Here. This bloody 410 shotgun.
Put it away, Mark. Just put the bloody thing away. This thing, it's 410. Fine, it's a 410. There's a fucking million 410s out there. That's not the 410 that did it.
You don't want this? It's a fucking murder weapon.
Put the gun away.
Take it down to bloody forensic.
Mark looks stunned.
How long have you been on the go, mate?
On the go, mate? The only one person at this table on the go is you. The fucking goee. Where's the crust, mate? Look at it. You're off your dial.
I don't think I've ever been as bloody insulted as I am right now. I'm sitting here confessing to a fucking murder. I've known you since I was a fucking pup, right? And you got the fucking audacity to drag this cunt here.
Sort out your boy, will you?
And you look at me like I'm a fucking idiot.
Mate, you're a bullshit artist. Simple.
Mark takes a drag of his cigarette and looks at Downey with an intense stare. He glances at Cooney. Later, Mark wanders into the kitchen where Keith's sitting watching TV.
What you saw on the TV, a man was shot at Bojangles. I thought it was you.
Well, it couldn't be me, could it? Else I wouldn't be bloody standing here.
No.
Mark takes a bottle of beer out of the fridge, opens it and sits at the table with his father watching the TV.
Used to be bloody Chopper Reed. Now I can't even get arrested in this fucking town.
Did you do that?
Would I do a thing like that?
That's my boy. One in the skull.
Mark takes a swig of his beer.
It took those numbskulls 2 weeks to finally get around to sorting the whole mess out and arresting me. Turns out Mandy Carroll was there that night. Followed me and Sammy out into the car park and saw the whole thing.
What I seen when the man got shot was like a flash from the side of his face, like yellow colours. You know when you fire a gun and you see the flashes?
Did you see a gun in the Turkish man's hands?
The Turk was just standing there. He didn't have anything in his hands. He didn't have a gun, nothing. He was just copping it sweet.
Copping it sweet.
Yeah.
She turned Crown witness against me, claimed that I murdered the Turk in cold blood. But what was she doing? 8 months pregnant, bloody stained off her tits down at Bojangles at 6 in the morning.
Jimmy and the boys will be in the car. You help set up the big fella. It'll make you a star.
They said they had it farmed out. They had it ghosted. But when I walked out the door, they just left me posted.
The game was for real. It was no lark. But the twit took him out to the wrong car park.
Silly boys. That's all the chopper had to say. And poor little Sammy got blown away. The knuckleheads. I could have shot him in both kneecaps and finished a game of cards before this crew of retards got their act together.
Look, I'd like to thank my legal team for all their hard work. Solicitor Mr. Pat Hutton, my barrister Mr. Morris Jeffrey over here, and Queen's Counsel Mr. Damien Collins. It was their sterling, bloody sterling legal work that helped me beat the charge. I'm just bloody wrapped. Friday,
The paparazzi.
I beat the murder, Blue, on the grounds of self-defence, but I got 5 years for malicious wounding and other assorted scallywag behaviour.
Now, I don't want to put shit on myself, right? But the shooting of Sammy the Turk at Bojangles nightclub is the most shitpot bloody non-event murder case in Australian criminal history. But for some reason, I get all these bloody letters from all over the world and photos where all these crackpots have gone down and taken photos of themselves. I got a letter here from the sheriff of Sparks County, Nevada, wishing I was there. And for some reason, they go down and take photos. Bloody South African backpackers, bloody funny-looking homosexual. How did he end up in there? Jesus. Housewives, these bloody nitwits, these young criminal wannabes. Spunky ladies with lingerie. I mean, it's a case of the old Chop Chop doing his bit for Tourism Victoria, you know?
She's all right, Chopper.
Yeah, she's behind the letter-writing protest to the governor. Isn't she, boss? Hey?
Well, Chopper, she'll be writing a few letters of protest if I ever got my hands on her.
Oh, really, Bucky? Can I introduce you to a friend of mine? This is Bucky. Get the camera over to Bucky. Bucky, get over here. Here he is, young Bucky. Show her your tattoo, Buck. Hoik it up. King Kong, well, why has he got that? Voila, copycat. Isn't that bloody pathetic? If you want to be like your Uncle Chop Chop, get them bloody ears off your get them bloody ears off, eh? Get out of here, they're interested in me. Go on, piss off, get out. Get the bloody camera, don't worry about Bucky, just get the camera over here. What is this? Eh, you haven't got all day, continue. Roll along.
Okay then, so how would you describe yourself now?
Just a bloke. Just a good bloke down on his luck.
Well, you don't seem out of luck to me. You've written a bestseller.
Yeah, I know. And I can't even bloody spell. What about those poor bloody academics, those college graduates, battling their guts out to write some airy-fairy piece of exaggerated artwork, and there's a bloke sitting in a cell who can't spell, and he's written a bestseller. It sold 250,000 copies, and it's still selling, and he's writing another one, and I can't even spell. I'm semi-bloody illiterate. They must hate my guts, eh?
So have you got all your stuff?
Yeah.
So what do you reckon? We're entering laggy country or what? Yarn them in, look out.
We can send you a rough cut before it goes to air.
Nah, that's all right. Look, anything I'd say just be bloody fiddling anyway. I'm sure I'll be very happy with it. I'm sure it'll be exactly what I want.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'll be very good, won't it?
Yeah.
Hey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
He is Australia's most feared criminal, the self-styled crime commando, who terrorised, tortured and murdered dozens of drug dealers and armed robbers on the streets of Melbourne. He is, of course, Mark Brandon Chopper Reed. He is also a best-selling author.
Renowned and I can't even bloody spell.
Forget this exclusive interview.
Mark Reed says he's committed 19 murders, but he's only ever been charged with one, and he was acquitted of that. Nevertheless, he spent much of his adult life behind bars, the rest on the street, disposing of what he calls human filth. Did you really cut people's toes off?
My word, yeah. You see it with the bolt cutters, they come good every time. They love it.
They love it.
Well, they don't like it. I mean, they scream a lot, but I liked it. Yeah, I like cutting off their toes.
What did you like about it?
Oh, well, you know, the way they just pop off.
Yeah, then you've got the money. And you're going to kill them, so when do these good manners kick in?
I'll work it out.
News to them that it's their number's up.
Well, you say, look, you've given me your money, you've been a good sport. I do apologise, but I am going to have to kill
you. You do all that stuff? They were, yeah? But,
what?
All the stuff you're saying on telly.
Oh, yeah, well, look, you know me. Never let the truth get in the way of a good yarn.
You should come and have a look one day.
I fancy the 10 toes that I've got, I'll keep them.
You got a nice
foot. Thanks.
Unbelievable. Smiling your little pearly teeth at her. She's loving it.
Renee Brack with that report from Penn. Petridge, and I get the feeling that's not the last we'll be hearing from Mark.
Too bloody right. Too bloody right.
I point out that Chopper Reed was not paid for that interview. This program does not pay criminals.
Oh! Bring it on. Give us more. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it? Is that it?
But how much do you want, mate? Jesus Christ, it's a television station. They've got to sell stuff.
Pretty good bloody publicity, if you ask me. Hey, what's that going to be worth to me?
Worth anything, mate. Worth anything.
Who needs to be bloody paid when you get on prime? That's bloody prime time this time of the night. I come across all right, didn't I?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I reckon I come across intelligent, but tough.
Sitting in his cell, Mark puts out his cigarette.
Come on, get smoked today, mate. You want for cigarettes, mate?
Yeah, no, I believe. Thanks, boss.
Sweet, sure?
Yeah.
All right, catch you later.
We'll have to shut this door, Mark.
Nah, that's all right.
Mark stares at the cell door. He turns and stares at the wall, sitting motionless. He brushes some dust off his knee, then continues staring at the wall, perfectly still. He glances at the barred window, then stares back at the wall. Mark Brandon Reed now lives on a farm in Tasmania. He remains one of Australia's best-selling authors.